What happened today, Alan?
Absolute thunderbolt.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The LIV Tour just merged with the PGA Tour. It stinks.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Are we serious? The LIV Tour and the PGA Tour are merging. How in the hell does that work?
Today's guests, CNBC journalist David Farber, Pro Football Hall of Famer Terrell Davis, actor Patty Considine, host of NBC's America's Got Talent, Terry Crews, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live from the Los Angeles studios of our program on the Roku channel. This terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us also. We say hello to Sirius XM and Odyssey audiences around the world. We say hello to anybody who's listening to us later on demand, as is your right, through our Cumulus podcast network. You can get all 3 hours in podcast form. You can also check us out every single day as soon as we're over on the Roku channel. We re-air throughout the day. All Roku devices have us for free because the Roku channel's on it. Select Samsung Smart TVs, Amazon Fire TVs. The Roku app has the Roku channel on it, therokuchannel.com. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you on this
Rich,
Wednesday?
What's happening, my man?
Good to see you, DJ Mikey D. Is indeed nuts. How are you,
how you
sir?
Doing? Good.
I got to be honest with you. I did not introduce you as DJ Mikey D as in D's Nuts with Reggie Jackson sitting here yesterday. Because as you know, Doe's Nuts are in the Reggie bar.
Exactly.
TJ Jefferson, how are you over there, sir? What's going on,
man? I'm good, Rich. I want to say RIP to the legendary Iron Sheik.
Yeah, how about that?
Man, Zoom.
That happened just before the show aired.
Like the Sheik.
Yeah.
Hey, Bubba, respect to the Sheik.
And I think those are the only things we can say that's repeatable. Game three of the NBA Finals tonight.
I almost forgot about that.
Yeah,
with
they're still
that
playing,
yesterday.
Right? They're taking 2 days off in between games, 3 days off.
I freaked out yesterday about like 6:30. I was like, oh, I missed the game. And I went to I was like, oh, wait a minute.
No,
it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Everything that happened yesterday in the world of sports. I'm like, there's still basketball going.
Game three is tonight. And, you know, the Nuggets with a terrific game one, trying to take one on the road. Or maybe both to try and wrap things up in five games, or this will be a split, or maybe
just maybe
the Miami Heat will continue to shock the world and play in game three a game like game two. And if they do that, their game will be good enough to sell to the Saudis. So you got that.
What's wrong with you?
Wow.
Well, isn't that the way it goes? And
wow.
Look,
hey man.
Day after, here we are. The merger between the LIV Tour and the PGA Tour that may not really be a merger. It might be killing off the LIV Tour. See you later. Gone, and then the PGA Tour will just keep going on with just a new power structure that's owned by Saudi Arabia. Or we'll see the LIV Tour on the PGA Tour, and there'll be some sort of mishmash, but that won't be until next year because both tours are going to continue on as if this whole merger thing didn't happen until the end of the 2023 season. And the question, I think, that comes out of yesterday, a day later, it's a simple one. How much? How much do we love golf? That'll be tested. How much we love golf, how much we love watching golf, how much we love the players who play golf. How much can we just not focus on the business arrangement that was made yesterday that stinks? How much hypocrisy can we swallow as sports fans? Then, of course, the ultimate question is, how much money did Saudi Arabia and the PIF, the Public Investment Fund, put on the table? How much?
That's what I'm dying to
do
know.
I want to know the answer to that question too?
Big time.
How much?
We know it starts with a B. It's what multiple? 2, 4.
How many of the illions?
Yeah, how many?
Let's take it one at a time here. How much do we love golf? How much hypocrisy can we take? Because Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, now the CEO of the new business side of things, yep, atop a board that the PGA Tour will have a majority of seats on. And so that's all well and good, right? So it doesn't matter who is the owning entity. If the board has more seats on it from the PGA Tour, the LIV folks, Saudis, the PIF won't be able to just push people around, I think, or things will always go the PGA Tour's way. Just ask the Roy family how that worked out. So how much can we swallow from Jay Monahan, who had spent the last year plus talking about the composition of the LIV Tour and who owns it, and using the whole, using is the only word that could be used right now based on the heel turn that occurred on Tuesday. 9/11 and the families of those who perished in 9/11, to say to the LIV Tour players who took the money from the Saudis, how many times have you ever had to apologize for playing on the PGA Tour? 9/11 families are appropriately livid. Reading from a statement from 9/11 Families United Chair Terry Strada, saying that Monahan talked last summer about apologizing for playing on the LIV Tour, and now players never had to apologize for being a member of the PGA Tour. Quote, they do now, as does he. They should be ashamed of their hypocrisy and greed, is what the family said. Jay Monahan, you're up. He held a press conference at the Canadian Open on Tuesday. What about the hypocrisy, Jay?
I recognize everything that, you know, that I've said in the past and in my prior positions. I recognize that people are going to call me a hypocrite. And anytime I've said anything, I said it with the information I had at that moment. And I said it based on someone that's trying to compete for the PGA Tour and our players. And so I accept those criticisms, but circumstances do change. And I think that, you know, and looking at the big picture and looking at it this way, that's what got us to this point.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Word salad on the menu in the Canadian Open press area. At least Bryson DeChambeau actually spoke yesterday. I didn't see how many LIV Tour players spoke yesterday. But he appeared on CNN with Caitlin Collins.
Yeah, just a lot of tweets from guys yesterday. That's all I saw.
He spoke. And, you know, his game is like artificial intelligence, so it stands to reason that on this very subject about 9/11 and the Saudis, he would sound like a human GPT chat responder. Roll it.
Well, I think we'll never be able to repay the families back for what exactly happened just over 20 years ago. And what happened is definitely horrible. And I think as time has gone on, 20 years is passed, and we're in a place now where it's time to start trying to work together to make things better together as a whole. I have deep sympathy. I don't know exactly what they're feeling. I can't ever know what they feel, but I have a huge amount of respect for their position and what they believe. Nor do I ever want anything like that to ever occur again. I think as we move forward from that, we've got to look towards a pathway to peace, especially in forgiveness, especially if we're trying to mend the world and make it a better place. I think this is what they're trying to accomplish. LIV is trying to accomplish. The PIF is trying to accomplish. We're all trying to accomplish is a better world for everybody and a way to provide great entertainment for everybody around the world.
At least he's speaking, right? I'll give him credit for that. But, you know,
those were words.
Looks like this. He's talking like there needs to be a ceasefire from the media towards him and everybody else in this bag of poop that got put on the table yesterday. How much? I want an answer. How much can we take as well? Rory McIlroy taking a high road. If I didn't take a $500 million in a venture, and, you know, the commissioner of the venture was definitely using me and my name and good faith and reputation and credit as the standard bearer for the goodness of the PGA Tour against the badness of the LIV Tour. And then that guy turns around and makes a monster business deal, which is what's changed. You heard, like, there's things that have changed on the ground. It's the change that was put on the table.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'd have sounded a hell of a lot angrier than Rory McIlroy did at the Canadian Open when he was asked this question.
Do you still have confidence in Jay Monahan as commissioner of the PGA?
Yeah, I do. And look, I've dealt with Jay a lot closer than a lot of those guys have. And from where we were a couple of weeks ago to where we are today, I think the future of the PGA Tour looks brighter as a whole, as an entity. You know, what that looks like for individual players in terms of keeping a tour card and, you know, bringing players back into the fold, and then that, you know, sacrifices other people. That's where the anger comes from, right? And I understand that, and there still has to be consequences to actions. You know, the people that left the PGA Tour irreparably harmed this tour, started litigation against it. Like, we can't just welcome them back in. Like, that's not going to happen. And I think that was the one thing that Jay was trying to get across yesterday, is like, guys, we're not just going to bring these guys back in and pretend like nothing's happened. Like, that is not going to happen.
Well, I'd love to see how that does happen, because I'll tell you what, the how much has an answer that Monahan knows. Yep. And if the ones who put the much on the table want the LIV players back in their new entity that they own, guess what's going to happen? And if Monahan stands in the way, and there is a power structure led by the moneyed interests of people who want the LIV Tour players back in the game, the LIV Tour players will be back in the game, and anybody who stands in that way will be out of it. That's my read sitting here based on everything that has gone on that I can understand in the last 24 hours, is that the money is talking. And yeah, the PGA Tour may be better for it. As Alan Shipnuck came on yesterday, said he's kind of dug the team aspect of it, watching LIV Tour perhaps more than anybody I know has watched the LIV Tour. He digs it. He likes it. You know, he said that it was tedious, 72-hole tournaments over and over and over again on the PGA Tour, and that maybe people might be more interested. And sure, that's a watchable product for the fans.
I've been a long-time Four Aces fan, Rich.
I know that, Chris. You go way back.
Way, way back.
You go way back.
Way back.
Well, you're a big CW fan, too.
True.
Because you get it here on Roku.
I know.
But what's next? They bought this tour, folks. What's next to buy? A major? The Ryder Cup? Seriously. Because if you've got a business entity that you own, what helps is adding more to the portfolio and controlling more and making sure that your partners pay a premium for premium events. And if you're thinking that's never going to happen, the PGA Tour has just changed its business model completely with a board and everything. And the people who can control, who invest in it, are currently the exclusive investors in it. What does that sound like? I mean, seriously. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to get the Aramco Open.
Right? And that's, again, how much? It's like, how much do you care as a fan? How much do you care as somebody who cares about things other than sports, the human rights of the world? And
I sit here fully knowing I used Uber yesterday. Who's the investor in Uber? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, we all have Apple phones, right, and wear Nike shoes.
So, I mean,
and,
seriously.
Yeah, I mean, the whataboutism is real.
It's like everybody needs to see the movie Network from way back in the day. I know I'm dating myself. It's in 1976. Paddy Chayefsky wrote the script, and it foreshadowed everything in our media world as well as the real world, that there are no more countries. They're just corporations. That was in the mid-70s.
This corporation happens to be a country, essentially.
That owns professional golf.
Yeah. And part of Formula One and Premier League.
And how much do you care? How much should we care? How much will we care when, say, you know, the new tour rolls around? It's like, I kind of like watching this stuff. Like, we'll go hire a register.
Well, because it's going to be like 3-4 years ago when all the best players played against each other in all the big events.
And would it be better, I guess, if Bryson DeChambeau just said, hey, if somebody offers you 10x more for doing the thing you love, would you take it regardless of who's giving it to you? And I thought it was terrible what happened on 9/11, but I'm a golfer,
right,
and I do what I do for a living, and this is the way I do it. Not talking about making a world a better place through, you know,
your four iron,
your albatross,
right?
You know,
man, my putter's,
yo, man, my 350 yarder yeah, is really gonna bring people together.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like 9/11 is something. Let me just tell you this. Speaking as an American and a New Yorker, hashtag too soon. Okay. Mm. That's what I'm saying. How much? So somebody who may know the answer to that question or give us an idea is the individual who broke the story on CNBC. David Faber will be joining this program for the first time. And he's dynamite on CNBC.
Yeah, very curious.
And he will be joining us on this program. We also have, to help us preview game 3 of the NBA Finals, a man who got an earful in game 2. And I'm not talking about any of the officials. I'm talking about the harried Pro Football Hall of Famer, Terrell Davis.
Poor TD.
Who had 2 Florida women yelling at him.
He's had nightmares the last couple of days.
He'll join us top of hour number 2. And then in hour number 3, Terry Crews will be here from America's Got Talent. And then in hour 2, His Royal Highness from House of the Dragons. House of the Dragon, pardon me, which I love watching now on Max. Paddy Considine, who plays King Viserys Targaryen, will be here.
Love it.
844-204-RICH, number to dial for anybody to chime in on this subject matter. David Faber, we're going to squawk on this street when we come back right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1/4 moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold.
Get an inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum. Actress Kristen Ritter.
Your parents let you travel by yourself.
It was a different time.
They just put you on a train. As a 15-year-old girl, you went to New York.
I went on a bus, and I did get picked up at Port Authority. They thought I was a runaway.
What would they do?
They'd detain you and, like, get people on the phone, and then they finally let you go to your modeling job.
But how many times did it happen?
Once or twice.
It just seems like it wouldn't happen.
It happens, yeah.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. So Jay Monahan is currently talking on the Golf Channel. By the way, our radio audience is returning in about 90 seconds, and that's when we'll bring in David Faber of CNBC, who broke the story. Boy, Jay Monahan's had a heck of a, again.
I mean, he knew this was coming up, obviously.
So what's he saying on the Golf Channel? What's he saying?
He's talking about
tee times?
So he's talking about?
No, he's asked. He was asked.
Is a new starter? Is there a new starter?
He was asked about 9/11. He understands the criticism, you know, around the hypocrisy that
how much
and his actions and the commentary of the last couple of years.
Yes, sir.
Did add that he was asked about Rory and Tiger staying. Obviously, they were offered large lump sums of cash.
Yes.
Their loyalty will be rewarded.
There you go.
Unquote.
What does that mean?
Are they just gonna?
I don't know.
They're just gonna park Brinks trucks in their driveway.
I don't know. Maybe they'll bring them the cup of chicken salad around the turn for lunch.
Extra fireball shots.
Fireball. I mean, or gear.
Yeah, fireball gear.
Well, Shipnuck said that they're gonna give them franchises for the teams.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. Sir, I do not know.
Rory just looks tired. Seeing that clip of him, he just looks exhausted from all this. I can't imagine what the last year of his life has been like.
Now, if he's going to be exhausted, I hope he's got a parking pass for the U.S. Open here in Los Angeles, because that is going to be a hell of a spot to get into. L.A. Country Club's like Foxborough. There's one way in one way out.
That's right.
That's it.
That's right.
You better show up early. Yeah. Traffic and weather together here in Los Angeles, California, on the Rich Eisen Show.
Terrible intersection anyway.
Woo.
Wilshire and Santa Monica.
Look out.
Like, get out of here.
Oh, that's great. The old Trader Vic's corner.
Yes. Good place to get a happy
hour. Well, they added the Waldorf there, so there's two giant hotels. Yeah.
That'll be great.
On top of a golf
within course. Walking distance to watch the bumper-to-bumper traffic. This is the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network back on the air. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Pleased to have here on the Rich Eisen Show is a man at the center of breaking this story on CNBC yesterday. One of the anchors of CNBC of note for sure, David Faber, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, David?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming on, sir. So let's just jump into this. What's the timeline on this merger from your knowledge, the timeline
on
this?
That's a really good question, because I think some people may not have picked up on sort of some of the technicalities, which is this is a memorandum of understanding. It means, hey, we've gotten together, we sort of have a framework for a deal, but we don't have a definitive agreement. We haven't signed anything, so to speak. And so they're going to try to get to that pretty quickly. Yesterday, Yasser al-Rahmani, the governor of the PIF, the money behind obviously the LIV golf tour and the money behind what will be this new entity, said weeks. Weeks to me sounds a little quick. I think some of his advisors, in fact, when they heard that during our interview, probably said, what? That is at least what they're aiming for. You could imagine, of course, given all the different constituencies here, you want to get something signed as quickly as you can.
So the memorandum of understanding aside, are you saying there's still moving parts that might cause this to not go through, whether it's the hue and cry from fans or, as I'm reading right now, David, Capitol Hill, many United States senators are saying they're going to, quote unquote, look into this. What do you think?
There's always risk. I mean, listen, there's risk to when you even announce a definitive agreement, for example, from antitrust review, which could go to what you're kind of talking about, even though senators don't technically have anything to do with that. That's the Department of Justice or the FTC. But there could be an antitrust review here that becomes problematic. So there's that. But there's also just risk, yeah, in terms of getting it all done, right? They've got to figure out a valuation here for both these entities, LIV Golf and the PGA. The PGA is a not-for-profit, or at least it has been. So, I don't know, $2 billion in revenues is what I've kind of heard, but no profit. And then you've got LIV Golf, where it's probably taken in $2 billion in capital but doesn't make any money. Coming up with a valuation that everybody's going to agree with on both of those entities, so you can figure out then what the PIF has to put in as capital, that may not be that easy. And then all these other constituencies that are going to keep, keep criticizing aspects of the deal as well. So you never know.
David Faber of CNBC here on the Rich Eisen Show. Was it weird for you to be sitting with two guys who would never have been caught in the same room with each other on planet Earth over the last year, sitting there, and now it's all of a sudden kumbaya? I know you've been in the middle of interviews where money is talked, but what about yesterday? David?
Yeah, it was a little weird. Listen, I'm not as much of a golf aficionado as plenty of my friends are, mm-hmm. who I think would have been sort of stunned by the whole idea of it. For me, it was a deal. Two guys, you know, two who were behind a forming a transaction the way so many others have, and I've done so many of these kind of interviews where, now in this case, you don't have a buyer and a seller per se, so it makes it a little more complex. And as you said yesterday, it's got a lot of ramifications far beyond the business world. But for me, it wasn't as strange, I think, as it might have been for others, seeing these two guys who, you know, at one point certainly were not friends in any way, but over a course of months seemed to have forged at least some sort of weird partnership.
So the way you just described it, David, here's what I'm confused about. And, you know, the phrase that I like to say here is, because I did much better on the verbal than the math part of my SAT back in the day, David. Explain it to me like I'm five. When you say that they have to figure out a valuation of each side before the PIF, the public investment fund, the Saudis, decide to come up with a figure that they're putting on the table, are you telling me Jay Monahan made a deal without knowing what that figure might be? Because to me, that figure must be so damn astronomical, Jay Monahan could not have refused this.
There's definitely a range that has been discussed, no doubt.
Okay.
Or a number that has. And by the way, remember, part of this is not just the initial capital that will come to sort of even out in some way the ownership, but it's the capital that's going to come in years to come to help fuel these growth initiatives that he's been talking a lot about and that he has sort of been pressing as the reason why he feels like he had to do this deal or reversed himself completely. And so it's not just the initial money, but yeah, I think your instincts are probably right. There's no doubt you've got some idea. They're not telling me. They're just saying billions. I would expect that they have a better idea of how many billions. But the actual valuation work has yet to really begin. So, you know, there is still a lot of unanswered questions when it comes to the economics.
Can you give me a guess of the neighborhood? What neighborhood are we in with that number, David?
I don't know. I mean, I would actually go to you and say, you know, what's the value of a worldwide golf entity?
It depends on how important it was for these lawsuits to be dropped, David. I mean, if you really want to put a brass tack on a table. So what, 10 billion, 20 billion? I mean, I don't know.
Right. It could be. I mean, what do you compare it to? Is it similar to F1? Is it, you know, again, what's a comparable is what we would typically ask in the M&A world. What is something else out there? What is it worth? I don't know. You're the expert on this stuff.
No, I'm not an expert on putting a valuation on things at all.
No, but on the value of sports leagues and on, you know, what one thing might be worth versus another, a global sort of entity of this type. It's kind of unlike anything, but it's similar to some.
But that number I gave you is not outrageous in your estimation.
I don't think it is.
Heard,
you know, it's not outrageous. Now, again, it gets back to, all right, but what, you know, you're contributing LIV Golf. What's that worth? And then what is the PGA's current value? Those are going to be, all of it's going to be kind of difficult, but not impossible. Bankers are very creative people.
So give me so what is the power structure here? There's a board now, and Jay Monahan is the CEO of it. And from what I can read and understand, the PGA Tour will have the majority of seats on this board. How many people are on it? What can you tell me about this?
You got it all right. I mean, they're going to keep stressing this, that they have what we call governance. They're in charge. They have the majority of the seats on the board.
So did Kendall Roy. So did Kendall Roy, David, right? If I'm not mistaken. Right? Until he didn't.
Yeah, but, you know, Kendall wasn't a serious person, right?
That's what I'm saying. Good one. That's very good. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but keep going.
No, okay. It was a great show. I'm going to miss it.
Me too, yeah.
They will have control of the board, they say, and they will also be the CEO, so the executive in charge, right? That mm-hmm. said, PIF, Yasser Al-Rahmani is going to be the chairman of this thing. That comes with some influence, no doubt. But, you know, they're going to talk about the structure of it and the new company sort of sitting above everything else, and that Jay will be the CEO of that, right? So mm-hmm. there's a new co, and then within it is PGA and LIV and everything else. And so that's where the power is going to lie, they will say, even though the economics, frankly, may be that the Saudis actually own the majority of it.
Yeah, or all of it, right? I mean, if you're the, again, You work for CNBC. You said I'm the expert on the sports, I guess, valuation part of it. You're the business expert in this conversation. Yep. David Faber of CNBC. If I told you, forget about LIV and PGA, if I told you there is an entity that says they are the exclusive investor in something and also can have full and complete authority over who else invests, would you not call that entity the owner of the entity? Correct?
I would. Yes. Now, and I tried yesterday, although not hard enough. I didn't push the point. And you're saying it here. It makes me think I should have pushed this harder in the interview. But yes, you're absolutely right.
Okay.
The answer is, yeah, but we don't have governance. Now, that does happen sometimes. But money talks, doesn't it? And so it may not be said, but it doesn't need to be.
Okay. Yeah. And then I guess last one on the power structure of this, and then we'll just talk about the future of it best you can tell. David Faber of CNBC here. Can the PIF fire Jay Monahan? I mean, can they just go in and say, you know what, you're not doing what we wanted you to do. So once the papers are signed, you're out. And, Tom Wamsgans is in. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, is that possible?
Tom Wamsgans is going to take the CNN job.
Maybe so. Maybe so. I love that we're mixing headlines here. But in all seriousness, can the PIF, can even maybe his Royal Highness come in and tell Jay you're out? It doesn't matter.
No, I mean, they only have one vote. As far as I'm aware, they would only have the vote of those directors they control, and
right,
they don't control the board. So, no, the answer would be you would need a vote of the board and majority to say you're done. And right now that board is controlled by members of the PGA.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, the answer would be, at least on paper, that's not the case.
Okay. So what do you think is the timeline from here? You said there's a valuation period that has to happen.
Yep.
And then through that valuation, we will get an idea of the neighborhood of the billions that the PIF put on the table to make this happen. Like,
yes.
What do you got for me here?
Yes. I mean, I think, from my perspective as somebody who still reports on deals, I'll be trying to figure out, okay, what are these things being valued at and what's the actual capital commitment from the PIF going to be? So that's what we should know perhaps as soon as weeks, if they can follow the timeline that Al Rahmani indicated yesterday,
mm-hmm.
but certainly within a period of time. And, they don't want to let time go by. So then you'll get a definitive agreement. So we'll see it, or at least we'll see some of it. It's private. They don't have to tell us everything, but
right.
But they'll certainly share some things, and we may be able to find them out anyway because there'll be bankers and lawyers around it. And we'll know more then. And then you start this period of getting approvals, including potentially antitrust approval,
mm-hmm.
and then you close, and it's done. And then they, do all the things they said they're going to do, I guess, over time.
And then what about the nonprofit part of this? Can you help me figure out how that works? So where the PGA Tour, if they hear this interview or hear an opinion similar to what I've been saying now for 24 hours, is that they sold golf to another nation, that they could say, you're wrong. We're still in charge, and we're still, this is going to be better for everything. What do you think on that?
Well,
David?
They are for profit, and they're dropping all of their commercial enterprises and everything that basically earns money, revenue, generates revenue, more or less into this new entity, right? So they're still maintaining that 501c6, I guess.
Yes.
And that'll be funded somehow. They'll have to, I would assume, come to some sort of arrangement in terms of how that gets funded or what percentage goes towards that to fund the not-for-profit things that it does.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the extent of it, as far as I'm aware. Okay. I mean, it's a for-profit entity that the PGA will control, so to speak.
Well, because they have more board seats than anybody
Correct.
Else on the
Correct.
Board.
Control from what we say governance, right.
But
not from economics.
Right, from the economic point of view.
Yep.
From the point of view of who is putting the money in to invest, and essentially, I imagine, to reap, and then decide who else can come in to invest, that is the Saudi Arabian Government Public Investment Fund. That's it, right?
Correct.
Now. Okay.
As I understand it, that is the case.
Okay.
Yes.
So if I sit here and say Saudi Arabia just bought the PGA Tour, Am I right?
No, I mean, they'll dispute it because they'll say, oh, no, you know, we didn't. Okay. And it's an entity, and the entity's here, and we're only a part of it. But I think you're fine to say that.
Okay. David Faber, I greatly appreciate it. Congrats on the scoop.
Thank sitting you,
down with those guys.
It.
I mean, you really knocked the world on its ass. There's just no other way to put it. We were just sitting there. My jaw is still hitting the floor. A day later, this is a huge story, and congrats on breaking it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Thank you. That's all right, you got care. It. That's David Faber giving you the squawk on the street right here in the Rich Eisen Show.
That's well done, branding there, Rich. Okay. Wow.
What did I tell you? What did I say?
Yeah, you did say
they
that.
Own it.
I also think it's fair to point out that we know 1% of the information.
Oh, sure.
So I'm just kind of, you know, as things trickle out and get hammered out, and this is a framework deal, nothing is set in stone. But yeah,
if Jay Monahan says, hey, Rory will be, what do you say about Rory and Tiger today?
They will be rewarded for their loyalty. But what does
mean?
Build a Scrooge McDuck hut for all their cash?
I don't know. Basically, Rory and Tiger, take a nap. When you wake up, there's $1 million in the case, you'll know you have a partner. If not, you'll know you don't.
Wow. Let's get them all. Let's hit them all now while we got the money.
And I appreciate good movie, Right Church, Wrong Pew.
I know.
We don't have the Hyman Roth bite.
I know.
Frank Pantangeli, same movie, different line, but I appreciate you getting it. But honestly, like, it's money in a case. And the question is, though, is how much? And as David Faber just said, we won't know until they go through the process of coming up with a valuation. But that had to be part of this conversation. And one would think part of this conversation would have to be some of these players who didn't take the money. Unless Jay Monahan is totally blindsiding every single one of them. But if I'm him, I'm reading Rory into the situation, which it sounds like he is with Tiger, too.
Yeah.
And if I'm the PIF, I'd want them read into the situation, because if I'm buying it, I kind of want Tiger, too. You
kind
want
of.
Rory?
Kind of.
Yeah. Because I'm buying, if I'm buying, let's just say, a great car company, I want all the great cars.
Yeah,
great.
Because I bought it.
I want the top of the line.
Right.
I don't want the Edsels.
Because I bought it.
I want the top of the line.
Great choice of a car that's at the bottom of the rung. Yeah. Very 50s of you.
Thank you. And
for somebody who doesn't watch black and white movies, that was very impressive.
Come on.
You know, but hey, I want it all. I want the top cars. I want all the cars, because you know why? Because I bought it. And I get to decide who else gets to put money in to buy all these very nice things that I own. They bought golf! Exclamation point. Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on our program. Still to come, Terrell Davis talking about getting an earful from Heat fans in Denver.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form. Songwriter and producer Jamie Hartman reacts to the Ed Sheeran verdict.
You need to create something new, and of course you're going to use traditional paths to get there. Are you going to sue the Rolling Stones for making a samba out of Sympathy for the Devil? You're going to sue Elvis Presley for writing Bossa Nova? It's like saying you're not allowed to use a pencil to create a piece of art.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
And the man who plays the King of the North, Jon Snow, Kit Harington, here on The Rich Eisen Show. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate that. You bet. Did you know at the time when that happened that you would be coming back to life?
I had a 2-week period where I was pretty silent for those 2 weeks after reading the script. I didn't know. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know whether I was out of a job. You know, I pretty much convinced myself I was out of a job. I was like, okay, this was a good series, you know, this was a lot of fun. You got some good money. It was good for a while.
It's a good run.
Yeah. Now, you know, do other things. And then when they told me that I was coming back, I couldn't have. You know, when you lie to yourself and you're like, oh, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. And then you get the news and you go, yes, thank God.
What examples from the past have that you can lay out here is something that they've done for Snow?
I've always commented on how short I am in life. So they keep putting that into Jon Snow. You know, being small, having a tiny you know, stuff like this. It's just, they just want to rip the piss out of you.
So how do you consume the shows?
I only watched them once, and I watched them on my own in a dark room. And then, I'm whooping and I'm enjoying it, and I'm like, but I'm on my own. It's sad. It's a sad thing.
Do you need a hug right now, Kim? Would you like to end with a hug?
Yeah, let's end with a hug.
All right, let's go. Here we go.
Here we go. Bring it in.
This is great.
Thank you very much.
That's Kit Harington, everybody here. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, we've been all over Game of Thrones for years. In the latest interview from the Game of Thrones series, Patty Considine will be in studio coming up in hour number two. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. All right, I think we've covered the LIV Tour with the PGA Tour. Like the proverbial glove. But guess what? We do, Mike, I think you found the soundbite here. I'll set it up for you. Rich Eisen Show exclusive, which is why you check us out on the Roku channel every day, or obviously radio, Sirius XM, terrestrial, all that. Our podcast is we have exclusives. We're in the know. We're in on it. You said Jay Monahan, speaking today on the Golf Channel, said Rory and Tiger will be rewarded for their loyalty. Again, they didn't take the LIV money, and now the PGA Tour has taken the LIV money, and Tiger and Rory are kind of left out, and they'll be fine. You know, they're not living check to check. That's basically what I'm saying.
They're good. Yeah.
But, you know, the other guys did take the money. They didn't. PGA Tour used their presence on the tour as a sign that they were the stronger organization. Then they turned around and took the LIV money themselves. Anyway, long story short is we have exclusive sound. This is the sound.
No. Oh,
yeah.
We got it.
Of Rory. I can't tell if it's Rory or Tiger by the voice. It's not an Irish accent, so it's probably Tiger. Telling Jay Monahan about this arrangement to be made whole.
I'm going in to take a nap. When I wake, if the money's on the table, I'll know I have a partner. If it isn't, I'll know I don't.
Very interesting that Tiger sounds like an older Jewish man who never lies about his age.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. It sounded like did it sound like the streets of Cuba?
Yes.
In the background?
Maybe Tiger's in Havana? I don't know. Maybe.
Mojito?
We shouldn't speculate. We really shouldn't speculate. I forgot to ask David Faber if they're going to call it PGA Tour Plus. Is he still looking for a name?
Or just Golf Plus, just super generic.
Golf Plus?
Yeah,
Golf Plus.
Yeah, just super generic Golf Plus.
Gotta laugh instead of cry, you know?
Yeah.
As our sports world is totally changing, man.
Gotta laugh through the pain.
Miami Heat. Tonight.
Are they going to do it?
Tip off tonight in South Florida.
More importantly, will the fans show up on time for the first quarter?
You know what?
Midway through the first quarter, are we going to have half empty seats?
We cannot carp on fans who don't arrive on time. If you don't know the traffic patterns. You have no idea the traffic patterns.
People doing down there? Nobody works.
What do you think? They're just too busy ordering bottle service to get there on time? Right, is that what you're saying? Down there in Miami?
Bottle service, the linen, clothes. Like, what? Come on.
Come on. Cafecitos are expensive. Someone's
I know, right?
Yeah. Us getting hopped up off a cafecito when we were down there was amazing.
Stuff was amazing. I know, right? Here's what I'm enjoying about this. It's two teams. Okay, it's two teams. There's no super teaming here.
No, not really.
You know what I mean?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Not really.
Like, it's two teams built from the ground friggin' up. You know?
A lot of role players.
But superstars. You know, the world's best player right now in Jokic.
Yep.
Okay. Jimmy Butler and his band of undrafted merry friends.
What I mean, that's it for superstars.
Though. Right.
Just one on each team. And then
Jamal Murray, you know,
he's
on a path. Let's just say he comes up with three more electric games.
He could be finals MVP for all we know.
Entirely possible, yeah. Right? I kind of dig it. Certainly in the news that you hear that Kyrie's called up LeBron and say, how about you come to Dallas to hang out with me and Luka? As if, by the way, you know, I guess if LeBron turns to the Lakers and says, I want out. I don't want to be here anymore. I got one more year left with you and then another year of my option. And I'd like to turn that one year of mutual agreement into an option year for me, and I opt out. What do you think the Lakers would do?
Could they do?
Nothing. Except send him.
Yep.
And all I'm just saying is, like, have we passed up now on the super team era in the NBA being over? Is this finals? You know, we always look at things as the watershed moment or the moment things changed in a copycat league, or have we reached the point of, like, if LeBron goes to play with Kyrie and Luka, back in the day, we'd be like, game over. Dallas wins.
Teams are back if that happens.
If that does, you know what? Maybe they don't win.
And then Dame goes somewhere.
I don't know.
Obviously, maybe they don't win. Not every super team has won. I mean, the Heat lost twice in the finals LeBron was there.
But I'm just, like, you're seeing Denver built from the ground up, Miami built in the Heat culture with these guys. Yeah. It's tough to do. But, you know, when I heard that, you know, Kyrie called LeBron to say, why don't you come here to Dallas? It's just like, really?
That was a desperation move.
Really?
Kyrie.
Also from him, too, to say, don't speculate on me or talk about me, and you shouldn't pay attention to me. And anybody who talks about me doesn't know a thing about me. And how does Shams find out about this? What, is he tapping LeBron's phone?
Apparently, it's brought. Went told
now,
the other
he's
day,
a mouthpiece for everything Kyrie and the Brooklyn Nets.
Be careful with the word mouthpiece. That makes it sound like he's a puppet. Don't go there.
He's broken every Nets Kyrie related story.
Well, I mean, or he's a trusted. You know, I don't know. I'm sensitive to that sort of conversation. But clearly, you know, somebody.
You're Jay Monahan. I'll be your Rory McIlroy.
I'll take care of you for your loyalty.
Thank you.
I don't know. That whole thing stinks, too. I hope LeBron stays put here.
Look, his son just enrolled at USC. His other sons just moved schools in the Valley. He's not going anywhere.
But I saw that. I'm like, you know what? Let me just dive back into this series where this is some good team basketball with some superstars at the forefront of it. And they are just going to bang it out. And they are playing at high levels, and the Miami Heat.
They can't keep shooting 50%.
Yes, they can, pal.
Can they?
Said every Celtic fan. They can. All they got to do is three more games. Do it three more times. Give it to me three more times.
You know how hard it is to shoot 50% from three?
With Max Strus. I told you he couldn't go 0 for 10 anymore.
Yeah, man.
And then you sit him down, and the second best shooter out of Michigan to play for the Miami Heat, Duncan Robinson, right? Lights it up. You know who the other one is, obviously.
Gunright.
Of course. Just my way to see if Del Tufo's paying attention that I mentioned the 1989 Wolverines. Hey,
Mike,
in any
Glenn
way,
Rice,
shape,
cover
or form.
Yours.
It's too busy. He's banking.
He's banking.
After hearing from CNBC, he's doing his banking.
I already invested.
All right,
check that portfolio, Mike.
So, you know, tonight, I can't wait to watch it. I can't wait to see it. Tonight's going to be a blast.
I'm just so curious. Like, are the Heat going to keep this up? Can they keep it up?
Why not?
Are we going to get a really quintessential Jimmy Butler game?
Why can't we?
Because we haven't seen it yet in the finals. 0-2. Like, you know? And then what is Denver going to do?
Jimmy did come up with two big possessions.
Yes. I just mean that 30-point plus, 15 free throws.
In your face.
Yeah, in your face. Yes. Make, you know, doing all the little things.
Like, tonight's not your night. It's my night.
Right.
Game of Thrones, not today type stuff.
And it seems like Jokic needs to get a triple-double for this team to win. The recipe of let him score 40, don't get anyone else involved, is bad for Denver. He needs 28, 14, 12 assists. A facilitator? He needs to be, you know, kind of Magic Johnson, Larry Bird hybrid.
Did you see Spoelstra gave Ramona Shelburne an earful when she's like, it looks like you turned him into a scorer tonight, not a facilitator. And he pushed back like that's the craziest notion that he's one or the other. I don't know. He's just in the zone, man. He's in a finals zone right now.
They have a losing record when he scores over 40. So
they're 0-4.
Yeah, it's kind of proven.
So let him go for 40.
Exactly.
I think also when Spo shot back at Ramona, I think it was more like, shut up. Like, this is our...
I don't know about that. Terrell Davis is going to be joining us, and the king, Viserys, Patty Considine, coming up.
You know what I mean, Chris? Like, don't give away my secret.
I mean, is Michael Porter Jr. going to actually make a shot and play some defense?
No, you know, I hear you.
Denver's got some questions.
That's what the Heat do, and that's what you have to do in the playoffs is find the one weakness and exploit it, or take one person out. They're so good at it. I mean, they are so good at it.
Yeah.
This coaching staff with Spoelstra is so good at identifying it and coming up with a plan. And then they're just matrix-like connected directly into the Zen of this team. Game two came out of nowhere. Stephen A., remember you said it with divine intervention? I'm like, what are the Heat doing in their conference rooms or their hotel rooms right now? They're praying. Divine intervention. Well, guess what? The basketball gods showed up in game two, if that's the case. Uh-huh. You know, Gabe Vincent looking at Brown.
Yeah, Caleb Martin can't hit a shot now, but Gabe Vincent and Strus now don't miss.
That's it. Hey, pal. Welcome to the world of watching your team. Derek White, then all of a sudden, the other Williams. The Williams that gets in your face?
Stupidest thing.
You know?
Poking that bear.
Grant Williams, the one who's making threes? Like, yeah. Good teams have those guys.
Bah.
All right.
Let's go.
Hour two coming up. We've got the king himself, not just Terrell Davis, but Patty Considine of House of the Dragon coming up.
Conspiracy theories, paranormal, UFOs.
Science teacher Andrew Greenwood stated that a child ran into his classroom and was hysterically screaming and talking about the flying saucer outside.
Hundreds of children ran out of their classrooms to go outside and see this unidentified flying object that was just above the school.
Just imagine, a bunch of kids running out of school. Most of them probably just ran home.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.